are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans. Welcome to another edition of Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. My name is Patricia Traina, and I cover your New York Giants for a variety of places. You can follow all my work by following me on Twitter at Patricia_Traina. You can also ask questions if you'd like. We can talk Giant football. We can talk dogs if you like. We can talk about anything. Always there, always checking in, and always happy to hear from followers and fans of the show. If you want to email me, you can also drop me an email at LockedOnGiantsPodcast@gmail.com. We use that for those folks who want to send a little longer message than what a tweet allows for. So with Twitter Tuesday coming up for next week, you know, get those questions in. If you are going to ask a question for Twitter Tuesday, you make sure you tag them, ask P-Train, so this way I can find them. So coming up on today's show, I have over segments 2 and 3, an interview that I did with NFL draft analyst Charles Davis. Charles came on the program and we talked about a variety of things. We talked about defensive prospects, quarterbacks. We talked about sleepers. We talked about receivers, just a whole wide range of topics. And before I start playing that interview for you, just a few housekeeping notes real quick. Coming up next week, I mentioned we have Twitter Tuesday. We're also going to hear from Nick Corte of Over the Cap. Nick is the guy who basically has the comp pick formula down to a science and does some, you know, financial work over at Over the Cap. So I thought he would be a good guy to hear from. We will also hear from, I'm working on a couple of other guests for next week. So hopefully I can get them on the shows next week. I'm not sure just yet where they're going to fall into, but I also have planned another Fact or Fiction, and I have a perspective show planned as well. So a lot of stuff coming up, and then in a couple weeks, Chris Biziano of the Giant Insider and I, we're going to do sort of a mock draft, the Giants mock draft. It's not going to be a true mock draft per se, but we're going to kind of debate different topics and different players as to what we would do if we were making the picks for the Giants. So that should be a fun show. Chris is always a great guest, and I always look forward to having him on the program. Also, coming up on the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast, all of the Locked On NFL hosts took part in a first round mock draft. So basically what we had to do is we had to make selections for our teams, our respective teams in the first round, and then record a little, informational thing explaining why we made the pick and how that pick is going to help the team and so on and so forth. So I made 2 picks for the Giants, obviously a pick at number 6, a pick at number 17. Spoiler alert, I do not have a quarterback in either of those picks. I did go defense both those picks. It's just an interesting way. I've been watching how that board has been kind of falling into place, and hopefully you guys will tune into that. Hopefully you'll give a listen to it. And for the record, yes, I do think the Giants need a quarterback, folks, but I don't think it's going to happen in the first round. I would be surprised if that is the case. So we're going to take a short break, and then when we come back, I'm going to play the Charles Davis interview. So I hope you enjoy it, and thanks as always for listening. Welcome, New York Giant fans. My name is Patricia Traina, and I am delighted to be joined by Mr. Charles Davis. He is an NFL Network analyst who is on Twitter. You can find him at CFD22. He is also an NFL Network draft analyst. And as a reminder, the NFL Network is going to be providing live coverage of the 2019 NFL Draft from Nashville, April 25th through the 27th. Very busy time for everybody there. But Charles, thank you so much for taking a few minutes out of your schedule to come on with me.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Patricia. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. So, Charles, let's jump right in. We're going to basically focus on, you know, some of the positions that might be of interest to the Giants. And I want to just get your take on a few things. And I'd like to start off not with quarterbacks. We'll save quarterbacks for a little later on in the interview. But I wanted to ask you about the crop of offensive tackles. Basically, if you had to characterize this group, and I know everybody's different, but if you had to characterize this group, are we talking more athletic types, mashers? I mean, what kind of group do you see this these offensive tackles as being?
You know, we're getting a little bit of a combo with this group, but I would say more towards the physical caliber of offensive linemen, and some of it is, some of these offensive tackles may be better suited to moving inside the guard and being really good players there. And my comparison or my analogy is, remember Brandon Scherff, who plays for Washington, came out of Iowa as an All-American left tackle, has found a home as an All-Pro guard inside, excuse me, as a Pro Bowl guard inside with Washington. Zach Martin came out of Notre Dame as an All-Pro, excuse me, as an All-American left tackle, was drafted to play guard, and has been an All-Pro, I think, all 5 years he's been in the league. So I'm not saying every guy is going to come in and transition and play at that level. I mean, we know that that doesn't work that way. But we have guys who do that. Jonah Williams from Alabama. He's a left tackle, All-American, wants to be a left tackle in the NFL, burns to be one. I think he's better suited to move inside and play guard. Other teams may not. So I think he has some versatility, though. I think a Juwan Taylor at Florida has the same type of attributes to him. Played right tackle his entire time at Florida. I think his body type can kick inside. Cody Ford from Oklahoma, a right tackle, another All-American, another guy who has the body type to kick inside. But just because I say they can doesn't mean they will. A lot of them will stay at tackle and remain there. A Greg Little from Mississippi, from Ole Miss. A lot of people thought he might be the best left tackle in the draft going into last season. Right now, I think he's in the next category below some of the guys I'm listing. But that doesn't mean he might not still get first-round mention. And people see him as a pure left tackle and can kick right in and play. So that's how I kind of see this offensive tackle group.
Is the preference to move a guy inside, is that basically per team? Or is it just, you know, you look at the core traits of these guys and then the position-specific traits of these guys, and that's what kind of warrants? Because it's a little different maybe at the pro level than it is at college.
Yeah, it's a good point. That's a good point. And it is a lot of it, traits of the player, physicality of the player, body type. But the other part is the NFL dictates that we elevate what we've got inside playing. And you know, Patricia, from all the time you've had covering this league, how often did guys say, well, I wouldn't draft a guard that high? Remember that? That used to be kind of the statement. No, you know, always move a guy inside to play guard. Well, the Zach Martin of the world, when the Cowboys took him instead of taking Johnny Football, and that paid off big. When the Cowboys drafted Travis Frederick, when people thought he was a second or a third round center, they drafted him in the first, and he's been an All-Pro when he's been healthy. Because of the inside pressure we're getting from these defensive linemen, these pass rushers, because we've seen defensive tackles that played the point of attack, but didn't get upfield very often. Now, almost all of those guys are upfield guys, and they make plays in the pocket and push the pocket, and that drives a quarterback insane. So when you've got that strength up the middle, and Quentin Nelson exemplified it last year with the Indianapolis Colts going number six overall, and helping transform that team in a big way, and was an All-Pro as a rookie, it tells you that there is an importance there. So if you find guys who can kick inside and help out your quarterback, help him be able to step forward in the pass rush and throw the football, it's a big deal. So, yeah, it's a combination of all the things you mentioned.
Switching over to the defensive side, you know, every year I think teams tend to look for, you know, the positions evolve, you know, like, for example, years ago, you had a defensive end and he did everything. And now we have this edge position and whatnot. So with that said, where do you see the league kind of trending as far as their preferences in defensive ends and outside linebackers for the 3-4?
Well, you mentioned how we call them edge guys now. We don't call them just pure defensive ends. You pointed out how the league is trending, and a lot of them are those hybrid guys now. And that's what we're looking for. The ability to play multiple positions within a scheme So you're not always changing guys in and out of the lineup. And where they started to learn it was college. Because these colleges, you know, Patricia, if you watch them play on Saturdays and Friday nights and Thursdays and Tuesdays in the MAC conference. But when you watch them, the offenses, they go so fast and snap the ball, you know, every 20 seconds or so. It is hard as a defensive coordinator to say, okay, give me my jumbo group, give me my speed group, right? Give me my dime, my nickel. So you're trying to get guys who can stay on the field and have quick, easy answers to everything that an offense throws at them. So that's why you're looking for guys who can put their hand on the ground and rush the passer at defensive end and also stand up and play outside linebacker in certain situations. You're looking for those inside linebackers who not are just thumpers in the middle like we, you know, I grew up with because I'm 54 years old. But these guys now, who a lot of them are pumped up strong safeties, who can take on a few blocks but also slip and evade them in the middle and make plays. The Deion Joneses, the Quan Alexanders. In this year's draft, Devin Bush and Devin White kind of exemplify that. Not overly big, but boy, they can fly. You know, the defensive backs who are the strong safety outside linebacker types, free safety, strong safety types, you get the idea. So that's where we're headed now with all of it. And with these defensive ends, you get a category of those guys. You get, you know, the Montez Sweats who look like wide receivers but can play defensive end. Brian Burns, who, you know, still probably needs to put on some weight, but boy, he is silky and like a snake getting around the edge. Is he an outside linebacker? Is he a defensive end? Teams are going to want him to do both. And that's what they're looking for. And so we're seeing that more and more. And then a Rashawn Gary at Michigan. He's built like a defensive tackle in today's football, but he's much more like a defensive end. But he can kick inside and play tackle for you. So it's just a matter of picking your flavor. And the college game's going to present all types of body types and positions for the NFL to deal with.
Now, in looking at the Giants defensive scheme under James Betcher and, you know, just kind of matching up with their needs, I know it comes down to the best player available, but in terms of the depth, now people have said that this is a rich defensive class, particularly up front. So based on what you see, you know, the Giants defensive scheme that they're trying to run and knowing the depth, do you prioritize, for example, maybe a defensive interior guy ahead of an edge rusher if you're picking number six, or do you flip it, or do you go in a totally different direction?
Yeah, I don't prioritize, Patricia. I really don't. I like where they are with their base because I think of Dalvin Tomlinson. I think of B.J. Hill. And these are young guys who I think have a chance to continue to get better. And both of those guys I like a little bit better inside than I do out on edges. So, you know, I'm not prioritizing. I'm taking the best guy that I have at that spot. But if you're looking there and you're saying, okay, who am I going to pair him with? Would an edge guy now come into play? Would that be a Montez Sweat of Mississippi State, if, for example? Would it be a Rashawn Gary from Michigan who maybe has attributes to do both? You know, size and frame, and based on, you know, the Giants, what they've done in the past. Coach Gettleman is the GM, and I know big, strong, sturdy players are a priority for him because they've got to play in a division where you've got to slow down Ezekiel Elliott. You know, and how the Cowboys are going to run the football, and Washington and their ability to run the football with Peterson, and they're going to get Geis back and P. Ryan. They said they want to get more involved. With all those things coming to the front, you got to make sure you're stout there. So they could go easily interior or edge, but defensive linemen, big, strong guys, I think are going to be a priority. And, you know, I just don't see a Nick Bosa still being available by the time you get to six for the Giants. You know, I think he might be gone. Ed Oliver could very well be available, though, coming out of Houston as well, an upfield penetrator who plays inside.
Yeah, I agree. It's gonna. I don't see a Bosa falling down to them. It would be nice if he would, but I don't see that happening. Now, I want to ask you about the quarterbacks because, you know, look, this has been a very interesting year for quarterbacks. There just seems to be like no main consensus, depending on who you speak with. You know, this class is either loaded or it's not as loaded. And, you know, people like to look at, you know, the Josh Rosens of the world, you know, Josh Rosen, who might be on the trade block and where he would fit in. Can I just get your take overall on the quarterback class? Is there a guy that you feel is truly worthy of being a top 10 pick, or, you know, and where would Rosen fit into this, into the ranking of these top quarterback prospects?
Yeah, I think that, you know, as always, quarterbacks jump the line. You know, hey, no matter where you rate them, teams always need quarterbacks. And in this case, based off of where the draft is falling and how it's falling, I think there are two guys in this class that I would rate worthy of top 10 selections. And that's Dwayne Haskins from Ohio State, Kyler Murray from Oklahoma, pick your order. And after that, Drew Lock may get consideration out of Missouri, depending on how needy someone is or how much they fall in love with them, because 10 to Denver seems to be a popular spot because of how much John Elway has been around, been to Missouri games, and has talked about this kid. But I think, to me, there are two legitimate first-round quarterbacks. Third one, if I add in Locke. And then after that, I wouldn't have another quarterback with a first-round grade, even though Daniel Jones from Duke is going to get a lot of attention. He did a really nice job at his pro day. You know, he's well-coached coming out of David Cutcliffe's system at Duke. Athletic. Somebody told me just yesterday they think he's the second most athletic quarterback in this draft behind Murray, and I don't dispute that at all when you plug in the tape. But I think that he's got a second-round grade for me, even though I like him. But overall, with this class of quarterbacks, Josh Rosen and the grade he carried last year might be higher than any quarterback rated in this year's class. Some might dispute it with Kyler Murray, who's a little bit of an outlier because of what you're getting with him with his overall athleticism. But last year's crop of quarterbacks would almost all rate higher than this year's crop of quarterbacks. So it's a very interesting deal. But as we say every year, well, this is what they're sending you. And I always tend to chuckle, Patricia, when I hear teams or hear people say, well, they'll just bypass quarterback this year. They'll go get one next year. You don't know where you're going to be drafting. You don't know what your number is. You don't know what's going to happen to these kids coming out next year. The ones that went back to school you thought might be great might not be so great next year. I mean, I'll just put it to you this way. At one point, Brian Brohm and Christian Hackenberg were mentioned as going to be the top picks in the NFL draft when they came out. How'd that work out?
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
good point.
So all I keep coming back to is every time someone goes, well, we'll get one next year. You don't know that you're going to get one next year. You know, If you have an opportunity right then and there and you like this kid, that might be your opportunity to go hop on it. Plus, with where the collective bargaining agreement is now, you don't lose nearly as much on a quarterback as you did before. Remember when Matthew Stafford signed for $50 million and Sam Bradford for those? But if you missed on a quarterback then, that really set you back. The money's not nearly the issue now. Look at what we're talking about with Josh Rosen. They moved up to get him last year. Okay, they moved up to 10. They gave away a couple other draft picks. And they know that, indeed, if they deal him now, they won't get that capital back, but it's not going to hamstring them as it would have 5 years ago.
That's a really good point. You know, that's a point that a lot of people don't think of, because they figure if you miss on a quarterback, you've set yourself back for 5 years. And that's really a good point. The fact that, you know, you have that rookie scale involved there and you're not talking a lot of money. I want to stay on quarterbacks for a moment and talk about Drew Lock, because he's a name that, you know, has somehow made his way into the discussion for the Giants, maybe not at six, but at 17, if he's going to be there. First question, do you think he'll fall that low? And second question, can you just give me a rundown as to how he might fit with what the Giants are doing on offense?
Well, I'll start with fit for him. This is a very strong arm player. He may be one of the better arms in this draft, if not the best arm. Very confident in it. Loves to show it off, and I don't mean that as a negative. I mean, he loves to throw the football. And he also does a really nice job. And we are in that stage now where every year we have those buzzwords and buzz phrases, right? They always tend to emerge. Right now, the buzz phrases are off schedule, off platform, meaning he's not doing everything 1-2-3 throw, 1-2-3 throw. He'll get outside the pocket a little bit. He'll throw off of his back foot, falling to his left, throwing back to his right. He has that ability. And if you saw his pro day, they actually showcased it. They actually called plays that said that showed that, okay, that throw is not there in rhythm. Let's go off schedule, off platform, and show you what he can do. And he has plenty of that. I think he got better this last year. I think that with a new offensive coordinator and Derek Dooley, a few more pro-style concepts. I thought his reads got better as he went along. But there were also times when, because he has so much confidence in his arm, and this is not the biggest knock in the world, because if you go back, you'll find the same thing people talk about with Patrick Mahomes. It looks like he worked through that pretty well. He has so much confidence in his arm that sometimes he'll make throws he shouldn't make. That, I mean, and that's something that comes through coaching, and Pat Shurmur and Mike Shula and those guys, if they get it, they'll work through that. But he's got a frame that allows for more weight to be put on a little more body armor, and more athletic than what people know. This kid was a big-time high school basketball player that had multiple D1 offers and chose to play football. So he has that going as well. So I like that part for him. Now, will he be there? Interesting, because I think the bidding starts for a guy like Drew Locke based on what happens with Murray and Haskins. And if Murray goes one to Arizona, we expect, does Haskins go six to the Giants? And if not, where is the likely landing point then? Does the bidding now start at 10 with Denver, 11 with Cincinnati, because they won't give Andy Dalton an extension? So I think they're in play for a quarterback right now. Do we get to 13 with Washington? With Miami, 15 with Washington, and now we're 17 with the Giants, which was quickly picked up from Cleveland. So there may be a few guys that either will be in play, or we might have a rush at the top and might take some of those guys out of it, because there's a chance he could be there, depending on the flavor. But I think the guys are most likely to be there at that time are himself and Daniel Jones. Those are the top two guys I would see at that number for the Giants, because I would think that if a quarterback team's going to take someone, Haskins and Murray would be gone at that point. I'm thinking Murray at one, Haskins all over the board. There is no telling right now, although I projected him 11 to Cincinnati in my last mock draft. So who knows where exactly that will turn out to be.
You're listening to Locked On Giants with Patricia Traina, special guest Charles Davis of the NFL Network. He's going to be part of the NFL draft coverage coming to you live on the NFL Network from Nashville on April 25th through the 27th. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll hear part two of our interview with Charles Davis. So stay with us. Welcome back, Giant fans, to Locked On Giants. You're listening to my interview with NFL draft analyst Charles Davis. Here is part two of that interview, so enjoy. Obviously, the Giants surprised everybody by trading away Odell Beckham Jr. Now, you're probably not going to find a talent like that for a number of years. But with that said, I believe this is a fairly good receiver class. There's probably some good value here. Can you give a couple of names that you think might be good enough value who can contribute to replacing the production that Beckham was capable of giving?
Yeah, you know, it's going to be interesting, Patricia, because I don't know that people see a ton of top-line receivers, but once we start to get into the second round, we'll see a lot of receivers, you know? So if somehow the Giants decided they wanted to use some capital, I doubt it would be at 6, but maybe at 17, let's say they wanted to go there. DK Metcalf could still be available out of Mississippi at 17. A Paris Campbell from Ohio State is really rising, I think, in the minds of people. Although at 17, I don't know. But I'm just saying there's a chance for him there. But as you get a little bit deeper into the draft, you know, is A.J. Brown going to be a first-rounder out of Ole Miss? Will he go in the second round? N'Keal Harry, long, angular wide receiver out of Arizona State. You get into that with him, another guy who can play like that. Hakeem Butler out of Iowa State, another long, willowy guy. Had a few drop issues in college. You had to decide, are those concentration drops or those hip drops where you're really worried about his hand? If you talk about water bug receivers, they are all over the place. If you look just in, you know, back in the Northeast, there's this little guy named Andy Isabella out of UMass who caught about 8,000 passes, it felt like, played big in the bigger game, ran a 4.31, 4.32, 40 at the combine, was a sprint champion in the state of Ohio. You want to get a little guy like that who can operate, you can get him in the middle rounds because of size. And there'll be a bunch of guys like that. So just off the top, there'll be plenty of receivers to consider. I don't know how many you would consider at 17 in the first round and how many are going to actually go in the first round. I don't think it's a rich group in terms of first round receivers, because Hollywood Brown out of Oklahoma, who may be the top guy, a smaller guy coming off of a foot injury. Then you've got DK Metcalf, as I mentioned, AJ Brown would be in that conversation, Paris Campbell would be in that conversation. So it's going to be interesting to see how that comes about.
All right. And then in terms of this is a question I always like to ask of draft analysts, in terms of day three sleepers, you know, because that's really the hardest part to try and mock those guys. Who are some names that you think Giant fans should keep an eye out for?
Oh boy, are we talking specific positions or just names? Just to go
good,
you know,
value
names,
guys. Yeah,
good value guys. Mm-hmm. Well, one guy that I'm crazy about is out of a D2 school called Washburn University in Kansas, home of the Ichabods. And his name is Corey Ballantyne, and he's a corner. Ran 4.47 at the combine. Terrific production in college. Won the Cliff Harris Award as the top defensive player in Division II, III, and NAIA football. And if you look through the years of the guys who've won that award or have been finalists for it, you will see a decent number of guys who have NFL experience or had NFL opportunities. I think he's going to be a guy that's going to get a great shot and be someone that you would take a good look at and go, oh, okay, now I get it. This kid can flat out play. So he's one of my sleeper guys. I think what's going to be interesting is there a quarterback out there that people find as a sleeper? Because for the most part, Patricia, quarterbacks, and I know the Tom Brady story gets told ad nauseum, but it is such an outlier to get a 6th-round quarterback who not just starts, but obviously is going to be maybe the greatest player that's ever played. You just don't get those guys very often. But take a good look at Tyree Jackson from the University of Buffalo. Upstate New York, 6'7" kid, moves better than you might expect. I think he's going to be a day 3 pick, which means rounds 4 through 7. Big, big monster arm. Probably could have used another year in school, decided to come out. Just has to get his footwork right, because if he gets that right and hits the layup throws, he'll be a much more effective quarterback. But he's someone that I would keep an eye on. I'm interested to see where Bryce Love's going to go, the running back out of Stanford. Because if we'd had this conversation last year, he was almost a lock first rounder, had a few injuries last year. Stock seems to have fallen a little bit. You don't hear the buzz about him the same way. But I still think he's a heck of a running back. He just has to get healthy. I think he'd be a guy that I would take a look. And if you really want to get deep into the draft, okay, and get you a runner that no one's really talking about, well, take a good look at this kid named Alex Barnes from Kansas State. Tough, strong, physical type of a runner. No one's really heard much about him or talked about him. I think you could get him on day 3. And it reminds me a little bit of Chris Carson, who's running in Seattle right now.
Okay. And then final question, Charles. Last in the past, we've seen the first round get a lot of shakeups with trades and stuff like that before the draft, during the draft. Yeah. With the quarterback situations, you know, there are guys that to be had, but probably not a lot of guys in that first round. Do you anticipate that this year's first round is going to be pretty much, you know, the order that they're in is the order they're going to pick? Or do you anticipate that there will be the usual amount of activity, maybe more activity, maybe less activity? I mean, how do you see that shaking out?
Yeah, I think you raise a really good point. The quarterbacks, I don't think, are going to create a lot of that activity this year. I think it may be specific players that guys have targeted, the teams have targeted. Like, we got to have that guy versus another. You know, a lot of people say, well, you can get the same guy in multiple spots. Well, a lot of teams say, no, we think this guy's significantly better. So that may do it, but I don't think we'll get the wild jumps like we had a few years ago when the Rams went from 15-1 to get Jared Goff. We may get 2 or 3, you know, type of a thing, like go from 6 to 3. that sort of deal. Because, you know, you've heard the – look, the 49ers have said they're open at 2. The Jets have said they're open at 3. And once that starts, that may create – I'm not going to say a frenzy, but may create even more action. But definitely people will do that. And then, of course, we always look at the bottom of the draft, first round, because you remember Baltimore last year trading back into the first round to get Lamar Jackson. So if all the quarterbacks don't go and there's someone specifically likes, someone will probably trade back in at the bottom of the first round because you don't want it to get to the top of the second round the next day and someone else is on the clock and you can't deal with them. So, you know, we've seen that happen with Lamar. We saw it happen with Teddy Bridgewater a few years ago when Minnesota traded back in to get him at 32. Could someone else come in and make a deal? No, by the way, New England holds number 32. They're not known as a team that gets out of the first round, are they? They're not known as a team that trades back at all. So, yeah, there's a strong possibility. Because all I'm saying is if a Daniel Jones or a Drew Lock or someone slips all the way down that far, wouldn't surprise me at all to see someone trade back into the first round to grab that guy.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be another fun and interesting draft. It always is, and it never goes the way we anticipate it does.
That is so true. That is so true.
Well, make sure, Giant fans, you check out the NFL Network's coverage. They're going to be live from Nashville April 25th through the 27th. You can follow Charles on Twitter at CFD22. He's got mock drafts. And Charles, when's your next mock coming out, or has one already come out? I haven't checked today.
Well, mock draft 2.0 came out, I believe, what is today, Thursday? So I believe it came out Tuesday.
Okay.
And mock draft 3 will come out the week of the draft.
Okay, so you have 3 total you're going to do?
I have 3 total. I'm going to do 3 total. My second one just came out, and you can check out what I did with the Giants at 6-17 there. And, I did give Kyler Murray to the Cardinals at 1 to get things started. I just feel like at this stage, if they don't take him at 1, it'll be a big upset.
All right, sounds good. So, Charles, thank you so much for taking time out to come on the show. Really appreciate it, and good luck with the draft coverage.
Thank you, Patricia. Continued success to you as well, and thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. All right, Giant fans, that concludes the interview with Charles Davis. Again, I want to express my sincere gratitude to Charles and the folks over at NFL Network, NFL.com, for making the interview happen. I hope you enjoyed it. Have a great weekend. I'll be back talking to you next week.